Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of All by the Popcorn. I'm Emily.
And I'm Alessandra.
And today, we're talking about seasons three.
Yeah, right on.
Seasons three of both Umbrella Academy and Never Have I Ever. That's what we're talking about today.
That's right. Well, yeah. We should talk about Umbrella Academy first, because obviously we watched that before.
Oh my God, I watched that eons ago, but I feel like I remember what happened. So let's dive right in. So season three.
Well, where we left what? The kids, they had gone back into the future. So they were in the past in season two.
Yes. So they came like back to the present, but like an alternative present, mm-hmm. right?
Because of what they things did had changed. In the past, yeah.
Yes, they spoke to their father, Dr. Hargreaves, or Professor Hargreaves, whatever, right? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
And because he met them, he went and purposefully found different children. So instead of going and finding, Victor, Luther, Allison, Diego, them. He went and found another, is it eight kids? Six kids. Eight?
I think it's
seven?
Eight. It's eight.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
And then the cube. Cube is eight.
And then Christopher, the cube.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know how I remember that. But yes, so they go back to their house and they see that different people are there. They have this really awesome dance/battle.
Oh, dance. Yes. I mean, this
like, the
show.
Season starts this starts off like this. So that's how you know how the rest of the season's going to go.
I mean, so
this
I
was
would,
like episode one, wasn't it?
Yeah, episode one, they go back and meet the Sparrow Academy and they're yes. all really preppy, really mean.
Like just so clicky and so just mean. Bullies like yeah. They're so mean.
So it really defined the because everybody was separated last season, we didn't really get the family feeling, and I think this season was the first season that we've had where they all feel like a complete family in their complete dysfunctionality, because they're stuck in this alternate universe together. So a lot of the things, their interactions, I feel, were a lot more in a group setting together, many of them at once. And it really helped us establish their relationships with each other even more than before, you know?
For sure. I definitely agree with you that they were all so separated. It was funny kind of what they were all doing in their separate storylines in season two. But I think I prefer season three. Just because, you know, these actors have such great chemistry. They were so great together. We were given a whole bunch of new characters in season two, which are important and come into play in season three, which is great to see. But yeah, I really liked just everyone just shitting on each other. And especially even with the Sparrows, like you kind of see they don't trust each other at first. Rightfully so, because, you know, the people come into the house and say that we live here, but they don't. And it's just really weird and awkward and hilarious. But then they kind of work together and it's all just very, and then other things happen, like a fucking wedding. And it's all chaos and all hilarity. And it was so good. I remember, I really liked season three a lot.
Yeah. I think this is the best season yet. I really think that it had best writing and the most like quirkiness about it that propelled the story forward in a logical way. Obviously, the the need, like the kind of drastic nature of them being in this present where they don't belong is that there's a, like a paradox that is brewing, because they're not supposed to be alive. So them being around in this universe is like fucking up the universe and kind of imploding the universe.
Right. They are in fact causing the world. They have started doomsday again for the third time.
The third time, yeah. So because there's like that whole situation, that this being the third time this has happened, it's like they're simultaneously not giving a fuck while also like dealing with the sparrows. So it's kind of a like they're just letting go about all of this and just kind of like able to really accept their fate in a different kind of way than the previous seasons.
Yeah, I mean, they're all very gung-ho about figuring out what to do and what's happening, kind of before they know that the world is... Because when they first jump in, their main problem is just, we've been kicked out of our house and we need to deal with these sparrow people. Until they find out that the world is ending, right?
Yeah, and like then they're like, we gotta fix it, but then they're still dealing with the sparrows, so some of them really care, other ones don't. They don't communicate very well together because they suck at that. So they'll go like, you know, try to do something individually, and it'll be like, we already have that person, or we already did that, and you didn't know that. Like, the knowledge is never spread amongst all of them at once, and so that's kind of the comedy of errors of them, you know, going and fighting people when they don't need to and all that.
Well, yeah, and the sparrows have this very well-established hierarchy of who's in charge, and the Umbrella Academy doesn't. And so, you know, they go up to Luther thinking he's the leader when he's really not. And yeah, it's just, Five's the leader. Yeah. he's really an idiot. And Five's more like the leader because he knows the most about what's happening. And I think mm-hmm. Five can't use his powers or something this season, right? He broke the briefcase. Like, he couldn't.
Yeah, so he can't travel. Like, he can still pop around and stuff like he does. Like,
yes.
He can teleport, but he can't. None of them can travel to anywhere else. But they do figure out how to do it. Him and Lila do, to try to figure out how to go to the headquarters of the, I forgot what it's called, like the institution.
Yeah, the time headquarters or something. Yeah.
And they go there and they find his future self there. And it's because
yes.
the timelines are all fucked up. And so it's just like,
yes.
you know, that's just the real thing about this show is that the direness of everything is so lighthearted in a way, because you know that there's not going to be a consequence where these actors are actually killed off, or they're safe in the confines of the show. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, didn't the ending turn out to be okay? Like, did they figure it out or what? I can't remember exactly how it ended.
Yeah. So what happened was, Allison kind of like continued the professor's desire to make a ship thing that was powered by all of them, in order to make a reality that,
that's right. They all stood on those things.
Yeah, those
but
numbers.
They were dying.
Yeah, they were getting sucked up because Hargreaves is actually an alien robot, and he was like,
yes,
he wanted his wife back, so he needed to create an alternate universe where that was possible. But in order to do that, he needed to get all of them together in one place and use their powers and their brains to be able to do it. And
that's
then
right. And then they ended up somewhere or something. And then Hargreaves was like in a tall apartment building or something with his frozen wife there or something.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of how it ended? Oh my God.
His wife is now back to being alive, who apparently had died previously. We don't really know much about that.
I got to read these comics.
So it's so crazy. It's so it's just really fun. Like, I feel like every episode of this recent season was just bonkers and, you know, devastating and
it's
interesting.
So much fun.
Yeah. It was just great. And honestly, also, you know, each character, each actor is so fun. I mean, we've got every personality has their own thing and it just makes you love them. You know, even Lila, who's was introduced last season, she's a major part of this season as well. It really works, like her relationship with Diego and like how they really do love each other and all that. And they're like crazy madness in love. And then you got the other kind of love, which is like Luther and his sparrow girlfriend. And they just fall in love within days and then decide to get married like at the end of the world. And it's awkward. And it's just like they just sit with so many things. And that's kind of my favorite thing about this show is that even though the world's ending, the urgency is like so nil. Like they
it's in the backseat. Like it's just really... our personal problems are a lot more important than the world ending right now.
Exactly.
And there was like there was this falling out with Victor and Allison.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Yeah. So
yeah, what happened there again?
Well, where, Allison
like, Victor killed someone.
No,
something?
So what happened was...
Allison killed someone.
Allison, that happened in the middle of the series. But the reason Allison was so mad was because she came back to reality. And because she never existed in the present time, neither did her daughter. Yeah, so she lost her daughter.
And she lost Raymond, who she really loved.
Her husband, yeah.
Yes.
Back in the 60s.
When she went back in time, yeah.
So she's just pissed this entire season. It is absolutely... It's a crazy change for this character. I mean, definitely don't like her this evil. She truly becomes evil. She like murders a guy who turned out to be Harlan, the little boy in the 60s from the previous season.
Harlan is in the future. He's older. And so then he and Victor was able to remove his piece of magic from her or was trying to do that.
And she's the one who gave it to him. He's the one who gave it to him in the first place. So that was the problem.
Victor accidentally gave him the magic, gave Harlan the magic in season two.
And it ended up with Harlan's death because Allison killed Harlan. It's just like, don't do that, girl. Like,
yeah, because he was a threat or something, or because she didn't trust him.
She thought he was going to be the doom of them all because he has like extremely powerful. He's just like Victor, so he can like explode himself, and like make him like basically that. He's also the reason why all their mothers blew up as well, and they weren't even born.
That's right. Yes, he was in the hospital the day that all of them were born and like their mothers died or something.
Yeah,
right?
he was so angry that his mom died that he basically cursed Victor and everybody related to Victor, including all their mothers, and like ended up blowing their heads up. This show is just, it's just... You know,
it's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It just, you know, it can answer any question. It can put any plot out there, anything going on, and be like, this is the answer. And it will write around everything that it's already done in the most unique and stupid way. And it really just falls into its absurdity so much. And I just can't think of another show that is this absurd, other than maybe like Rick and Morty, you know, and like even then, that's
for sure
not very serialized in in a lot of ways. So
yeah,
it's kind of like that, and it's just wacky. It's just super wacky.
I'd like to mention that I'm pretty sure we gushed about how beautiful Diego was second season, but he was even more so this season.
Yeah, well, he's got that nice haircut. I mean,
oh my gosh, really... Daddy Diego, I was here for it. I was here for it because
also, totally.
Lita pretends that she's pregnant because she's Lila, watching her friend's kid, Lila. Yeah, Lila says that this boy that she's babysitting is his son, and so he's just trying to be a good dad to this kid who he wasn't expecting, and then he finds out later that. But no, Lila is pregnant. Or no, she's not pregnant.
No, she is.
Or she was.
She is. She is pregnant. Actually pregnant, because she told him she was gone for like 10 years, but in reality, it was only like a few months.
And she was testing him to make sure that they could have a kid together.
Yeah, they're crazy. But he is Daddy Diego for sure. Like, him being dad was really great. But when the kid shot Klaus in the buffalo, the white, like, buffalo suite.
Yes.
That was just, you don't expect it. And you're like, oh my God, like, he just shot
him. I'm pretty sure I audibly screamed or something. Like, I don't know what, I remember that scene being so shocking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we love Klaus so much, but then we find out that he can come back to life. He basically can't die.
It makes so much sense. He treats his life like it's a throwaway. So it does make sense.
But he wasn't aware of this. No. Like, he didn't know, because it would take him. And then he had like this father-son moment with Hargreaves, where they were practicing. Like, he basically just kept killing Klaus, and he would come back to life faster and faster and faster. Because I guess he was practicing or something.
And that was pretty funny. He willed himself back into reality, like back into the live world from the afterlife when he was in the afterlife, and he didn't even have a body anymore to come back to. And he had to like will himself back into the upside down version of the hotel.
Right. Right.
Oh, I love this show.
Oh my goodness. It's so good. It's so good. And then of course Klaus and Benjamin, right? Mm. Benjamin? Yeah, Ben. Ben. Just, yeah. Ben.
Who's Ben evil Hargreaves. Ben, because real Ben is dead.
He was just asshole Ben.
He's asshole Ben for sure.
He's just asshole Ben. And so like watching them, you know, Klaus is trying to appeal to his softer, more sympathetic side, and Ben's like, get the fuck away from me. And it's just, this isn't you, Ben.
Yeah. He consistently is an asshole. It's just like, dude, just give it up. You don't need to act like this. Also, another thing they did amazing in this recent season was how they introduced Elliot Page, transgender man that now is figured out in the show, oh, I am a transgender man as well. And it like really worked out with the character and all that Victor had gone through previously. It just made so much sense with how they introduced him, and then they just all accepted it like, okay, well, it was great.
Yeah, I really loved that episode. I thought it was going to happen like immediately in episode one, but I think it didn't happen till episode three or something.
Mm-hmm.
When he went and got his hair cut, and then he's just like, I'm Victor now. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. It was very nice, and they didn't like ignore it. They talked about it a few times to kind of just like get used to it. And so that was good. This show just really is great. I mean, I looked up recently to see how old Aidan Gallagher is, who's number 5, and I saw he was born in 2003.
Oh my goodness.
It's amazing though, this show has had 3 seasons, and this actor's looked exactly the same for 3 seasons. Like, I feel like he doesn't look like he's gotten any larger or in more into adulthood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, maybe his facial features have gotten a little like sharper, but he looks—he
already has the sharpest jaw.
He looks the same. He looks exactly the same.
He's got one of the sharpest jaws like I've ever seen. Like, it's just like the most. It's crazy. He's a great actor. I really like him.
He's so good. I hope that this kind of, you know, jump starts him into other stuff, because he's so great.
I mean, all of these characters, truly, the actors are really fun. I really like them. You know, especially Robert Sheehan. I love that guy. He's fantastic.
Yeah,
so.
I like that we really don't, like, I didn't know, like, not even Klaus. I know Klaus is in, like, some other British shows and stuff. But other than that, I don't think I really knew anyone other than Mary J. Blige in this show.
Oh, she's... That was so fun. I mean, of course you knew Elliot Page, obviously.
And of course.
I knew Tom Hopper, who plays Luther, from Game of Thrones, as we had talked previously.
Oh, that's right. I've definitely forgotten about that. There's so many people in Game of Thrones, I can't keep track of them all.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, so great job. It was nominated for Primetime Emmy Awards, but that was last year. I don't think anything this year, which is crazy because, like, this season again, I think was better and the effects were really good too. But maybe,
yeah, I mean, I felt like a lot of the effects were pretty good throughout all the seasons, but yeah, they looked great in this season too, and a lot more was happening. Like, they definitely had a lot of different sets, it felt like just both hotels and then of course the mansion, and well, that's really all they hung out in was the mansion and then this hotel after they kind of were going into hiding.
Super which hotel cool was, set. So cool. Yeah.
So Hargreaves made this hotel, right? Because it was sitting on some powerful something.
I think like it was like a portal. Yeah.
Yeah, like a portal or something.
To the upside down.
To the upside down, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
To the other side of the hallway on the other side. The fact that, like, they kept that this, like, enigma kept, like, the paradox kept, like, getting rid of people in front of their eyes and none of them, like, realized what was going on at all. Like,
yeah,
it just was so, it was wacky. Like, they just didn't, they're so involved in whatever thing they're going through that they can't even acknowledge when people are, like, missing around them.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they're silly. They're real silly. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I'm pretty sure we've done the plot keywords for this before, since we've talked about
for sure.
two seasons previously.
I know.
But yeah. I'll do them again. I was trying to look up, like, the trivia, but of course, then the trivia, you won't know what's new trivia or what's old trivia.
Unless, right.
Is there a date? A date of when they post it? Or it's just all there, right? I don't think there's really a date.
No. No.
Based on a comic book, alternate history, superhero, Dark Horse Comics, based on comic. Okay, well, that's two of those were the same, but that's fine. Whatever.
And of course, because it's a TV show, we do not have any critic reviews, so I'm not going to say anything.
Nope. You just get our reviews.
Let me check the Metacritic, because, like, if you go actually to the Metacritic, I'll just
Oh, something is there.
Yeah. Let's just see if they have a season 3. Situation here. I'm sure if I do something from 2002, like, okay, the Telegraph gave it a 100. Okay. It says for season 3, funny, sweet, outrageous, third time out it hits. Okay, wait, sorry. Okay. Funny, sweet, outrageous, third time out it once again puts on a brawly good show.
Brawly.
The word brawly is in here. Brolly. Let's see what that means.
Oh my goodness. It means brawly.
The same as an umbrella.
Oh.
It's a brawly. Okay. It's a slang term for an umbrella.
For umbrella. Oh, that's cute.
Okay, thank you, Telegram.
Oh, I love that.
The AV Club gave it 83. Season 3 continues to honestly grapple with everything its 7 protagonists went through in the past. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Yeah. Cool. We should have a break now.
Yep, before we talk about the next one.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Okay, we're back.
We're back with Never Have I Ever, Season 3.
I thought you were going to sing that too.
What? Sing what?
Sing the song of the title.
What do you mean?
Sing the... Never mind. You started off singing and then you stopped singing.
Oh, because I said we're back, like kind of in a sing-songy voice?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're back, and in the beginning of this season, Davey is dating the hottest boy in school.
Paxton
Hall Yoshida.
Yoshida.
And she fumbles it up real fast, as expected. Davey.
Oh my goodness.
I know. She consistently makes the wrong choice, but I would say that in this season, she actually does make a lot less annoyingly bad choices.
I was a little unsure about watching season 3 because I didn't necessarily love season 2, but I'm really glad that I ended up watching season 3 because it was really good. But yeah, so we have Davey and Paxton together at the beginning of the season. She is very self-conscious that, you know, she's not hot enough to be with Paxton. People are constantly gossiping about them because, you know, it's high school. It's horrible. It's not horrible. It's not horrible for everyone. But, you know, shows make high school seem particularly terrible sometimes. When it doesn't have to be that bad. But yeah, so she gets, and so these really weird situations kind of come up. She gets these weird DMs saying, like, you don't know Paxton. Like, you don't know what Paxton did or something. Like, and it's just...
Oh, yeah. Turns out it's one of his ex-girlfriends, and he had been really shitty to her. And so Davey's like, Paxton, you know, you should apologize to her. It looks really bad, and you've grown from that. And he's like, I have grown from that. I will apologize. And then he ends up having an apology line of people because he's
People start hearing that he's apologizing to the girls that he's just hooked up with and then ghosted, basically. And yeah, he basically apologizes to like the entire school, it seems. Yeah.
But there is a lot of growth, I think, in this particular series, a lot more than the previous one. And we do see that they're maturing a little bit more. They're 17 now. Like, they really are acting like 17-year-olds, and that involves like everything that 17-year-olds do, which includes having sex, and they talk about it a lot in this season.
Right. I mean, they talk about it a lot since the first season, but it's getting more serious now that Davey is getting more serious relationships.
And their friends, too. I mean, Fabiola and their Eleanor, friends. Too.
Yes.
It's like, and Anissa, you know, they really get into like a little bit more of, what do you want? What, you know, would people actually fit well together? Like, Anissa notices that Ben does not fit well with her, just from the way he talks, and he kind of talks down to people and stuff, and she doesn't like that. And then she kisses Fabiola, and they try to make a go at it, but they just also don't really fit together. So they kind of realize
that they're better as more of a platonic relationship. They just, you know, they care about each other, but they just feel like they should just be friends. And then Fabiola meets, oh my goodness, I watched another movie with this actor.
Where? With the girl, I forgot her name. Is it, it's like, I gotta go to the top casting here.
Gotta go to season 3 episode whenever they show up.
I don't know, man. You're gonna have to.
There's so many people in this show. Oh my god, I have to go to the cast list based on the episode.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Oh no, actually, I know what else they've been in. I'm gonna go there.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I'm gonna jump page. Here we go.
But I like that the title of this poster is "Same Nerds, New Drama" because they're very nerdy in this, and they're extra like obvious about the things that they care about, and like even with Paxton, who is kind of putting himself in a different way, like trying to better himself and go to college, and so we have kind of Paxton who cares and not just beefy beefhead Paxton, you know. And so it really like grows, it makes him grow as a character, grows in like his gratitude for being friends with Davey and what she does in the end. It's great. Like, I feel like every character had growth, even her cousin who, Kamala, she's like, I don't want to get married. And she is very clear about it. And she's like, you know what? Getting married right out of the gate is not what I want right now. I want to date people. And she wants to date the teacher.
Well, yeah, especially, yeah, she wants more choice in who she wants to date, obviously. But yeah, and she keeps getting this idea that, you know, if she gets married, she has to, I feel like it was a lot less, she talked about her career a lot, but I think she was just mostly talking about her, like, we didn't see her at work anymore, it just was her talking about her motivations and kind of what she, like, she just wants to, she doesn't want to get married yet, and she should be able to not have to do that, and she does want a career, and she shouldn't have to give that up just because she's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. I found the person. Terry Hu. Mm-hmm. I believe their pronouns are they them.
And what was the character name? Can't find it.
I think Addison.
Addison. That sounds about right. That sounds right.
Addison. But they were in this. I watched all 3 of the Zombies movies on Disney Plus. And they were in the 3rd Zombies movie, as an alien. It was pretty fun. So it was nice to see them again in another thing.
Yeah.
Because I really like them.
Yeah, I like all these characters. I think they're super fun. Even John McEnroe as the narrator. I saw him on a poster in Penn Station the other day, and it said, I do narration now, so hire me, or something like that. And it was like him his tennis racket and then also holding like a microphone, and then it said, as seen in Never Have I Ever.
Yeah, his narration in the show is always, it's so good.
It's very cute. And I even like the Andy Samberg version as well, when he's playing Ben's side of the story.
The Ben episodes in all the seasons have been. I don't know if he got one last season. He probably did.
He did.
I do know that Paxton got his own episode.
That's
last,
right.
Last
with
season
Gigi
that I didn't.
Hadid.
That I didn't like. That
yeah,
I did
that
not
wasn't
like.
A good one.
But no, Andy Samberg as a narrating for Ben on Ben's episodes were so good. And I remember really liking Ben's episode in this season again, which was always so good.
And he like acknowledged that he really did have a lot of feelings for Davey. And that she broke his heart and he still loves her. Yeah. It's very, Because like ultimately they're kind of the end game couple. Like that's kind of what we want. Like Davey's got a new boyfriend in this one. He's another Indian guy whose mom is friends with Nalini, and so it's like she has like other flings, right? She's got Paxton, obviously this important friendship there. But this other guy kind of ends up being a little bit of a jerk too, because his mom's a little bit of a jerk. And it's just like, it seems like it's going really well at first. But anyway, the end game is with Ben. We've always known this.
Yeah, it was a little interesting that they kind of steered away from the mom dating in season three and just had her, you know,
yeah,
getting friends, because, you know, she would just go to work and kind of come home. She really wouldn't hang out with anyone. And so I really liked this path for her this season. I'd like to see her try to date in future seasons, if that's, you know, kind of what's going to happen or whatever.
Maybe go back to Common, because that guy, that was great.
Oh my goodness. Such a beautiful man. So her friendship with this person was, you know, it's interesting too. Like maybe this person isn't someone that, Nalini would really hang out with. You know, she was very, she was like a yogi, and, you know, she was very judgmental about what foods Nalini would eat. She's like, oh, don't eat that. Like here, have this handful of almonds or something. You know, she was very, very like that, and a little judgmental, which we kind of find out later when she helps Davey with like a little mental breakdown that she has before her recital, before her concert, since she's gone back to playing the harp. Davey thought that she saw her father in the audience, and she kind of needed a minute, and it seemed like she was there to help her, but then she kind of talks her son into breaking up with Davey
for being like too problematic, you know, because
she's being problematic and having trauma.
Yeah,
which is fucked up.
It's really fucked up. So it's pretty clear that they're kind of not the best people, because they would judge somebody for this, and you know, they realize, like, and I feel like Davey cries a lot in this season. She really has to go through quite a lot of difficult things in this season, and kind of understanding the love but also still thinking about her dad as well, which is kind of what the end of the series comes to again, similar to the first series.
Yeah, there's so many characters now, because, you know, we really have Davey seeing her therapist a lot in season one, and the show really seems to be centered around Davey in season one. But now that we've really branched off into her other friends, like Eleanor and Fabiola even Ben and Paxton, like they all kind of have their own storylines now. And it's the show is still able to really cohesively have all those things that are still there. Like Davey's still seeing her therapist, obviously. She's still having problems, like still caring and missing her father. And on top of kind of the other normal teen drama that she's having. So it's just, it's a very well-rounded show.
Yeah, I did think this season was very good. I would say it's, again, the best season of the three. It's like the same with, you know, with Umbrella Academy. I do think that the writing has gotten better, more well-rounded, funny, like it's still very funny. You know, these actors are pretty cartoonish in a lot of ways, but they're still super relatable and fun. And the drama is good too, you know, like we really want them to succeed. We don't want them to like be, you know, like we're like, no, you're trash. We don't like you. Like that's not for anybody. Like we're all just like, oh, we hope you do the right thing and that you know,
yeah,
move
hope
on.
Hope you work through whatever you're dealing with right now. An interesting development in the season that I didn't know that I, like a character that I didn't think I would care about was, Trent.
Mm-hmm. I also noticed that. Yeah, he has a really good arc in this season as well.
He has a really big part in this season, dating Eleanor. And oh my gosh, like when he was showing up a lot more and just having a lot more lines, I was like, what are you doing? don't make me care about Trent. And I did. And I did. He's so funny. He's so cute. And when Eleanor was, when they're talking about having their first time, like Fabiola had her first time, or like had sex for the first time, and Eleanor finally did, and she was explaining, you know, what kind of scenario she wanted, and Trent, like, somehow did this scenario. What was it? It was like a romance novel.
Historical sweeping romance. Sweeping you off your feet kind of thing. Yes. Like the long hair and the, you know, and basically the trench coat. Prejudice. Yeah.
Yes. Basically Mr. Darcy. Just, and what, just kissing you up against an alley wall or something. Like, it was like, I really liked Eleanor in this season. She was so funny. And it's crazy to think that she was dealing with her mom stuff last season, right?
Yeah.
It was season two?
Yeah.
Or was it season one?
I think it was season one, and dealing with the fact that her mom was not engaged in her life and wasn't there for her at all. But that really didn't have anything to do with this season. I mean, it's part of Eleanor. It's part of who she is.
Eleanor's thing this season was really dating Trent. And what else was she doing? Was she doing something else?
She wants to further her career. So she dated Trent to like be in the commercials and stuff.
Yeah. To be in that, like, yeah, that guy who owns the gas station or something, or he owns some.
Yeah,
sort
Trent's
of
business. Gas station owning grandfather.
His like uncle. Or
uncle,
something.
Sorry,
yeah.
Uncle. Yeah, I mean that was basically what she did this season. So, you know, they all have their own little tiny storylines because, like you said, there's more characters in it, so there's more storylines, more things that need to happen.
Yes, I really loved that Kamala and the teacher, Mr. K, is that what his name is?
I think so. Love that actor too.
I love him so much.
I haven't watched the Ghost series with him, which I'm going to watch because I spent all this time watching the BBC version of Ghosts, and he is in it's Utkarsh Ambudkar. He is so funny. I love this guy. I cannot wait to watch his Ghosts with Rose McIver. They're very cute.
Yeah, let me know what you think. I wasn't planning on watching the American version just because I love the BBC version so much.
Need more content. Like I said, I saw that all of those people who are on the BBC Ghosts have their show Horrible Histories and also another show in movies and things. So I was like, oh, they're all in other things. I have to watch these things. So I've been watching.
I need a new show to watch. I just finished The Summer I Turned Pretty and Partner Track, which is a new like lawyer drama show on Netflix, which I very much enjoyed.
I'm very happy that Netflix is doing another season of Never Have I Ever. They're gonna do, I think, a fourth and final season.
Ooh.
I'm not sure about Umbrella Academy, if the next season is the last season, but I'm pretty sure that Never Have You Ever is just going to have one more season.
But Umbrella Academy is scheduled for a fourth season.
I think it is.
We just don't know if it's the last. So the season ends with Ben give Davey like a IOU thing, like a sex coupon?
They had this very awkward, like, completely non-realistic conversation that was ridiculous, where she was like, I'm going to be the only virgin in college. And then he was like, if you're still a virgin by like 40, I'll have sex with you. And then she was like, really? You'd do that? And he goes, yeah, look it, I'm going to write you a little note. And it said, good for one free boink.
That's right, the boink.
They should have done this in like the beginning of the series, because it would have made more sense if it was brought back, but then him doing it right then was so
it was just
weird.
So soon.
But I guess he was
But maybe it would have been weird to say it while she was dating Paxton, or if she was dating
He was dating Anissa, or yeah, she was dating somebody else. Like, definitely wouldn't have made sense to put it in previously, but still.
Yeah, it did happen right at the end of the season, and then we basically, the season ends with her going to Ben's place and cashing in the one free boink. But we don't know if they actually boink.
I mean, we're gonna find out.
We're gonna find out beginning of season four.
I'm gonna go with a yes. They're
probably gonna boink.
Oh god. I mean, I've always been a shipper of that relationship, truly. Like I said. Of course.
I really liked her with either. Like, I didn't know. Like, I couldn't. I really do like Ben. I think his character is a lot more fleshed out, and he's just such a good character. Like, we are learning a bit more about Paxton. You know, he was just the swimmer in season one, and now he has other hobbies, and he's
going to college.
He's going to college now. Like, he's going to be gone. So what? So is he not even going to be in season four? Well, he might show up if he.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that he is not going to be in it as much. Yeah, I think that this is kind of the end of Paxton, and his arc.
Yeah, probably.
I should have asked Darren Barnett when I saw him, when I met him.
He probably doesn't even know.
No, he probably doesn't.
He definitely wouldn't have known then when you met him.
If you listen to our toppings, you would have remembered that I talked about going to music festival last year, and in the VIP section, I walked past him and I said, "Hey, Darren," and then he smiled at me, and then I went and got a drink, and then I came back and I chatted with him and his friend for like 10 minutes.
Wow.
It was great. So I have a photo
chatting up celebrities.
Well, he told me that people call him Paxton, and they're always like, yeah, everybody always calls me Paxton. And I was like, oh, no, I follow you on Instagram, so
I'm well aware of your real name.
I did feel pretty excited about walking past him at first and being like, hey, Darren, and then just leaving. And it's like, that was pretty great. And then I also had several drinks in me, so at that point, I was the liquid courage. Like, I don't have any fear. Like,
courage was strong.
Oh, for sure. Like, if I was sober and I saw him, I might have freaked out. But I was in a very busy festival. I had several drinks in me. I was going to get another one. I was like, I don't care. I just want to get a picture with this really handsome dude who's really cool in this show.
I'm ready to chat up Paxton Hall Yoshida.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, I'm going to reread these plot keywords because why not? Okay. We've got teenager, school, friendship, coming of age, Indian American. That's perfect. That sums it up right there.
It's so exactly like that. I love it.
And because you said to look up, I did pull up the Metacritic page for season three, I think.
Yeah, you can. So you can see if they have any 2022 reviews. I think, and obviously those are the ones for this year, this season.
Okay. Well, it has an 81 Metascore, which is real good. Let's see, 2022. Here we go, season three review. Oh, well, let me see. Did you just read one? How many did you read? Two?
I read like the last two. One?
For Umbrella Academy? Let's see if we... Okay, here we go. We have a... TV Guide. All right. TV Guide gave it a 78. For better or worse, Never Have I Ever's new season offers more of the same as its last two outings. It's not a surprising show, but rather a comfortingly consistent one. It remains smart and funny with a killer cast. Okay.
That's a very nice review. I also agree. I do really like this show. It is one of my favorites. I really do think it's very cute. The writing is great. I love the cast. They're very silly. I'll take it. I'll take anything. I'll just watch them.
It has been very consistent.
Yeah, that's true.
And let's see. And still very good. Like, it's still consistent and good. And then I'm going to read another one. So a 91. AV Club gave it a 91. It's a treat to see all the characters get so fully fleshed out, further aided by a talented ensemble settled well into their roles by now. Never Have I Ever offers a rambunctious good time in a sea of bad to average Netflix originals.
Wow. Dissing other Netflix originals.
What a dig. Okay. The show's going to end with its upcoming fourth season, set up perfectly by the end of this third one. But its legacy is already cemented as one of the streamer's most entertaining and heartfelt offerings to date.
That is so nice.
I mean, like, it's not fully wrong. I mean, Emily in Paris, it was a pretty shit show. Did I still binge both seasons? Yes.
Yeah, I think
I hate myself for it a little?
It does seem like this show knows what it is. It, you know, and in probably a similar way to Emily in Paris, but it definitely is like, it's teen comedy,
true. I mean, yeah, we need, which is why I really liked Partner Track. It was a more adult show, and still had some drama and still had some really, like, it covered some pretty interesting stuff, and it was very engaging. But I mean, yeah, for this one, like, Never Have I Ever and, like, Sex Education, those are both very good high school shows that Netflix has on its streaming service.
Yeah.
Yeah! All right. Is that all we have to say about Umbrella Academy and Never Have I Ever?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sitting in a puddle of my own sweat right now, so I think we're done.
Oh my gosh, same. Okay. Let's close out. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. We're also on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Acast. If you want to email us, please email us at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. Please follow our social media. We have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Just search All By The Popcorn or All By The Popcorn Podcast. We also have merch, so please check that out. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next one. Goodbye!
Bye!
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.